So welcome, everybody, to another new day in the kingdom. How exciting is this? We're in a really exciting season, folks. I don't know if you recognise it, but we're in a really exciting season. So I'm leading today. I've got a little bit of an idea where the Lord's going. I've got some things that I want to share. But it's going to be very much the pattern that we have. So Benita's playing this week while I'm talking. And it's really about you connecting with Holy Spirit and Jesus and Father God and just allowing him to drop into you the things that he wants to drop into you. Okay? And as always, you know, if I say anything that you feel, oh, I can't pick that up, that's absolutely fine. Just leave it where it is. Okay, out of that feast that he puts before us, you know, we can choose which parts we want to pick up and which parts we want to leave. So this is something very new for me in terms of delivering this. I've been kind of living with this for a little while. And the Lord just said, okay, I want you to just share a little bit about this today. So I'm going to talk about two trees. The two trees, way back at the beginning of the earth. And I'm just going to read some scriptures just to start us off in just really resonating with that place way, way back. So when God was creating the earth, he said, let the earth sprout tender vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit according to, limited to, and consistent with their kind, whose seed is in them upon the earth. And it was so. The earth sprouted and abundantly produced vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and he affirmed and sustained it. So we see here God putting in place a universal principle. The principle that still operates on the earth today. That trees and plants and everything else bears fruit and seed after its own kind. So we know that if we want to grow a carrot, we need to plant carrot seed. If we want to grow an oak tree, we need to plant an acorn. And the Lord God planted a garden, an oasis in the east, in Eden, which means delight and land of happiness. And he put the man whom he had formed and created there. And in that garden, the Lord caused to grow from the ground every tree that is desirable and pleasing to the sight and good, suitable and pleasant for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the experiential knowledge and recognition of the difference between good and evil. So according to the principle that God had already established in the earth, these trees would bear fruit and seeds of their own kind. So the tree of life would bear fruit of life and seeds of life. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would bear that fruit and those seeds. So the Lord God took the man that he had made and settled him in the garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on the day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience." So we were intended to eat from every tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that includes we could eat of the tree of life. Adam was not intended to die. He is intended to be sustained. And it's interesting that God didn't say, "If you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I will kill you." He said, "You will die." Which is a completely different thing. Now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, except from the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, otherwise you will die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. For God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. That is, you will have a greater awareness, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of the two of them were opened. That is, their awareness increased, and they knew that they were naked. God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the garden to work the ground from which he had been taken. So at that point, man no longer had access to the tree of life. But lived with the seed from the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave this one instruction not to eat of that fruit because he knew that it would be poison for mankind. And in Eden, Adam and Eve made a choice. They made the choice to take the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lost access to the tree of life. And we know that ever since, man has lived in that place. Spiritually and physically from that point on. Satan tempted Eve with that fruit because he knew that it would give him a source of power over men. The fruit of the tree of knowledge kills us because it produces a distraction from the true source, from Jesus, and places our focus away from him instead of towards him. The tree of knowledge is not centered on God. And it causes us to focus on ourselves first. That was the first response of Adam and Eve after they ate the fruit. They looked at themselves. They saw that they were naked. They felt shame. For the first time. They became self-aware in a way that they were not before. They moved from the tree of life to the tree of death. Truth to lies. They move from honesty and openness to deception and barriers. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the life that was in the tree, that was there from the beginning, to bring life and sustain life and goodness for man." And of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So when we move into Jesus, we move into Holy Spirit, there is the possibility of returning to the state we were intended to be in, where we live in truth and we know the things from Father God, from Jesus, from Holy Spirit that as yet have not come to be for us individually, corporately. It opens up the possibility through Jesus dying on the cross to be restored to the place we were intended to be. And in my life, I've so often settled for just a part of that, rather than the whole of that. Jesus died for the whole, for everything. He purchased everything for me and willingly gives it to me. So there is still a challenge. There is still a choice. To choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life. I used to believe there wasn't a choice. I was born sinful man, and I had to stay sinful man, but redeemed because Jesus had redeemed me. But he's been teaching me that there is another choice, to fully embrace everything that he purchased for me on the cross, which takes me back to the tree of life, where I live in life and abundance. Paul says in Ephesians, that, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The effects of the tree of knowledge can be reversed out of our lives when we allow him to clothe us, when we allow him to remove our old self. When we allow him to change our mind for his mind, our knowledge for his. his revelation. The Holy Spirit can bring about a change in our heart and in our mind, in every part of our being, every cell of our being can exchange death for life. Jesus, who is life, conquered death once and for all, and he brings forth fruit that is life and life-giving from the tree of life, from his life. Fruit. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So there is a challenge about what is in our heart. What is it that wells up inside us? Which tree, which seed operates in our life? We need to totally change our focus and choose to see everything through the tree of life, and see everything and appropriate everything from the tree of life. We choose to step into that place and view everything from that place and not through the filter of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when we learn to do that, we can be completely transformed. Our lives are completely transformed. Our relationships are completely transformed because we view them from the true source. Our experiences with the people we meet every day, our challenges that challenge us every day, are completely transformed when we choose to look at them from the tree of life. So we need to ask Jesus to remove every remnant of the seed from the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and replace it with the seed from the fruit of the tree of life. The fruit. fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. They are freely available to us. There is no restriction, no limit, no half measures, unless we choose a half measure. But he offers us a full measure, pressed down and overflowing. In Hebraic thinking, everything is circular, not linear. So therefore, it's perfectly possible to get back to how Adam was intended to be, how he lived first in the garden, how Eve lived first in the garden, and how Jesus, the second Adam, lived on earth, totally absorbed, consumed, radiating life. He is always our example and our goal, to be like Jesus. Even the good from the tree of knowledge of good and evil can be more effective at separating us from the Lord and our destiny in him than anything else. We settle for good from the tree of knowledge. We think we are doing the right thing. Our mind is bound by what we think is the right thing. Our heart is bound by what we think is the right thing. And it may be good on very lots of levels, but good is the enemy of the best. And Jesus has the best for us. And the best is life in all its fullness, in every aspect, in every dimension. Life, life, life. So we need to put off the excuses. The excuses of, but I'm doing good. I'm working for Jesus. I don't harm anyone. I don't hurt anyone. I want the best for everyone. They're not wrong thoughts in themselves, but when they come from the tree of knowledge, they need to shift and give way to his life. Because in his life, we don't just have the good, we have the best. So I'm going to leave some time for you and the Lord to just have a little interaction, where you can allow him to shift your perspective. Because we can't even do that on our own. We need his help. We need him to show us what needs to move, what needs to shift, what needs to change. And it's all part of the journey into being mature sons of God, lacking nothing. We can be mature sons of God, lacking nothing, when we live from the tree of life. We live totally from Jesus, who is life. First of all, we're going to repent for where we've allowed ourselves to live from the wrong tree, where we've chosen knowledge over life. Where we've had to understand with our mind before we could do, before we could be, before we could follow. So, Father God, I just repent right now. Lived from the place of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and where I have not fully embraced you, Jesus, and the tree of life. The life that flows from you. I repent for every limitation that I have allowed to be on my life, on my thoughts, on the attitudes of my heart, on my words, on my deeds. I repent right now. And I choose to turn away my focus from the tree of life, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to the tree of life. I purposefully shift my gaze. Choose to put down all of my ways and exchange for all of your ways. Father, I ask that you lift off me the shame that first came in the garden. And I acknowledge I don't have to live from that place of shame. we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. That includes us. But the life he lives to God. We need to choose to live that life. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought by him from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. So, Father, we just ask right now that afresh you remove and reverse out of our lives every effect that came in because of us operating from the tree of knowledge. Take out all shame and hate, deception, sin, death, bondage, anger, everything else that's been a part of our lives, hopelessness, weariness, lostness. You know the things that have been a part of your life that you need him to exchange. So just offer them to him, that he can reverse those things out. All sickness and disease. All brokenness and hurt. Self-control. Appropriate the freedom and the life. Freedom and life. Freedom and life. Freedom and life. Freedom. Thank you. situations in our lives that we find difficult. Relationships we find difficult. Situations going on in every area that we need to see a shift in. And we're going to purposefully take hold of that situation or that relationship and move it from the tree of knowledge to the tree of life. So we look at it from the place of the tree of life. We take off the old filter and we choose to purposefully look at that place, that situation, that relationship through the tree of life. And everything looks different. Everything looks different. In that place, we don't have to work it out. We just speak in the life. View it with the life. Place the people and the situation into life. To allow the Lord to work in that situation for the best. We choose to not settle for the good. We choose the best. We allow him to work for the best. And whatever is going on, whatever comes at us, we view it from the place of the tree of life. Fullness and abundance and restoration. So what does Jesus think about that situation or that person? That is life. Purposefully choose to take the axe to the root of everything that is from the seed of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, because it has no right there. Jesus replaces with life. We are overcomers in every sense of the word. Revelation, it says, whoever has ears, let him hear. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He gives us the right. To eat from the tree of life when we appropriate his victory and become victorious. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. So choose to take his hand and let him show you whatever he wants to show you in the place of the tree of life. So in the vase in the middle of the room with the daffodils, there are some leaves. If you'd like to just prophetically take a leaf, just as a marker, as a reminder to take away of living with the tree of life. And maybe as you sit with that leaf, you can just ask him to tell you a word that is life for you right now. A word of life into your life right now. So just come and take a leaf and see what he has to say. Thank you.